The following is a presentation of the Premier Dance Network.
I'm James, and this is The Stage Right Side with James Whiteside, where we'll dive deep into the dark world of dance and come up on the bright side. Oh, that's terrible. Welcome back to The Stage Right Side. This is James, your host, and this is episode 5. That's 5 in Spanish. Just kidding. It's French. Tricked you again. I'm here with company managers Kyle Pickles and Ashley Bear, and they are ABT's foremost cat wranglers. They pretty much do everything, and they are smarter than everyone. So that's pretty helpful. We are in the middle of Swan Lake Week here. I'm recording 2 podcasts this week. I did Susan Jones yesterday, which is live today. It's Friday, which doesn't matter. and it was fun chatting with Susan. And because I just skipped one last week. So busy. I'm so important and busy. I'm a New Yorker. I live in Manhattan. So I'm here in the company manager's office. I didn't make them come to my dressing room because it's a real, you know, it's so far away. The Metropolitan Opera House is truly a maze. That's maze in Spanish or French. Who knows? Truly clown town. So let's start at the very beginning.
Hi, it's Kyle.
Hi, and Ashley.
So Kyle, let's start with you. Give me the stuff, like, you know, the short bio, where you're from, all that jazz.
I am from St. Louis, Missouri, Midwest. Yeah.
Missouri's so scary sometimes.
It is, that's why I live here.
Okay.
I go there on occasion, but then I need to always have a return ticket.
Yeah.
So I don't stay too long. And have lived, like, in California, in Colorado, and have found my way back to New York. And I've been here for about 13 years, so it's home.
And you've been working for ABT how long?
10 years.
Where were you in New York? Like, where did you work in New York before ABT?
I worked for a commercial theater company and who produced Broadway and commercial tours. I was there for about a year. And it was the longest, like, 14 months of my life.
Why?
I worked, they basically, like, moved the fax machine over so I could sit at this, like, high desk, and I think I made about $400 a week, and...
New York City, that doesn't work, just FYI.
No, it does not work. Credit was my friend, and, yeah, it was just pretty much low man on the totem pole.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so how did you end up getting this gig?
One of the company managers for a show that we had, Spamalot, was moving over to become the company manager of ABT. And just once he got here and everything sort of like shook out, there was a spot open for the associate company manager position. So I applied and started in September 2007.
Cool. So you worked on Spamalot. Did you work on the prequel, Spam a Little?
No, I missed that one.
I don't know. Is there a sequel like Spam the Most? No, that's not good. We'll just stop there. Ashley, your turn. Do the thing.
Yeah. Okay, I'm from Morristown, New Jersey.
So far away.
But I didn't start in New York. I started working in D.C. first at the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts. And then came to New York 6 years ago, was working at Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater, and then I ended up here, and I've been here 5 years now.
5 years.
Yeah.
Me too. I think we came at the same time.
We started the same day.
That's a Mars.
Because you were asking me questions when you first started, and I'm like, I have no idea. I just started.
Ugh, questions are so hard to answer,
yeah,
you guys.
They are.
Well, we're learning together.
Yeah.
And What was your position in D.C. at the Kennedy Center?
I was coordinator for the dance programming department, mm-hmm. so I actually got to work with all the companies that came to the Kennedy Center. So I met Kyle, I met different company managers.
Is that how you got the job here?
It is, yeah.
You poached her.
Come over to this side.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because when this guy, the company manager before Kyle,
what was his name again?
Justin?
Mm-hmm. Justin Sweeney. Okay, mm-hmm. I never worked with him.
Right. So when he left, Kyle gave me a call, said there was a position open. I couldn't turn it down. Yeah.
You just couldn't.
No. I mean, hello. I
just have to come and work in a room with no windows.
Right.
I was pretty used to that by this point. Yeah.
The theater life is it's really strange. You think it should be super glam and just like chaise lounges all over the place, but it's a lot of rooms without windows, mm-hmm. a lot of like empty Keurig machines. Like, it's a lot of that. And Kyle has his wardrobe over here, just an assortment of ties and blazers.
Mm-hmm. I have all my heels hidden underneath my desk.
Nice. Yeah. A graveyard.
A graveyard of heels. Yep.
Let's see, what do I have the most of? I have a lot of just dancewear.
Yeah.
Just piles and piles mm-hmm. of dancewear. It starts out like everything is folded and in a certain place, and then it ends up just a true pile.
Oliver.
You should see Bella's spot. Sit like her. It's insane. It comes up to her about like her waist. It's insane.
So it's like unlike fit for anyone to be in there.
Except her. Yeah. Except her. But she keeps it contained. It's just very high.
Mm,
it's a real vertical stack.
Understood. I thought we'd have the full experience of being in a principal dressing room to do this, but I think that would have been a little too much for Kyle and I to handle.
It's so scary, you guys. Wow. But then again, I have a window.
Oh, so you know what happens.
Yeah. If you're like, I'm like 100 years old at this point, so I get to be on the window side.
Ooh. So nice.
And all the children are on the dungeon side.
Gotcha. Mm. Who are your roommates?
Corey Stearns. Do you know him?
We're familiar.
I have heard of him.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Danielle Simkin.
Okay.
Another one I've heard of.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
We've been rooming together for years now. We're on the other side, on the children's side, if you will.
We've
moved over.
This year?
I think it's been like 2 or 3 years on the window side, yeah. Well there was a real shortage of men for a while,
mm-hmm.
and so they moved us over, and now that there are more, there are a lot more principal men at this point.
Yeah.
And I was like, I swear, if you move me back to the side without windows, I will have a conniption fit. And so they didn't move us.
Yeah.
Nice.
We're waiting for our windows.
I'm gonna like make a mural, I don't know, or maybe something really fantastical, like a window to Mars or something, like.
Sometimes that's how we feel. We are on some other planet, mm-hmm. so that would be nice. But we do have blue skies, mm-hmm. so that does help.
And three suns.
Yes.
And by that we mean the ceiling is painted blue and there are three overhead lamps.
Yes.
So I don't, to this day, understand a day in your life. So can you explain, because right now it really is, if ever I have any question at all, we come to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's pretty much everyone,
that's
right?
That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Yes.
It's like I don't even know anybody else's names, really.
Hey, you.
I'm like, we have an HR person and stuff
mm-hmm.
now, and
mm-hmm.
like the money people, I don't know them. I'm sorry, you guys. I'll have to interview you when I learn your names. I'm going to be better at this. This is bad. I just sound like an asshole. I might be an asshole, I'm sorry.
But that's a big part of our job, is to be the go-between between
mm-hmm.
the dancers and the administrative staff
mm-hmm.
and to help facilitate all of that.
What's the number one thing that people ask you for?
What do people ask us for? Oh my god, there's so many. I feel like every day it's a question I've never heard before, and it's like, all right, well that's new.
What's
and
the craziest
that's different.
One?
Craziest questions that people ask us?
Oh god.
What do people ask?
You've got to have one that's like, what? Like, why are you asking me this? It's like from me.
I know, right? Can we say?
I think crazy questions like don't come to mind as much as questions that you can't believe someone is asking you.
Dare to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
I mean, like this one that always gets me is you're at the airport, you have just gotten your boarding pass, and then someone looks to you and goes, so what do we do now? And it's like, well, let's go through the checklist. You have your boarding pass, and in order to get to the plane, you have to go through security. So I would go through security. Where do we go? Well, look for a sign. Security, they are going to point you in any direction that you need to go. But yeah, it's like, and I know travel days are hard, but it's like one of those things where I think they just sort of turn off.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, but like they just follow the leader.
Yeah, need leash.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, in Chinatown, how it's like the kids are on ropes.
Right.
That.
Yeah.
That would help.
It would help.
Maybe we could get us some helmets, too, while you're at it.
It's just this amazing phenomenon where when you have somebody you can ask the question to, you do that rather than figure it out.
Yeah.
I know everybody travels
yeah.
great on their own, but when it's in the group, and my thing is, like, we land at a foreign country,
uh-huh.
and I've never been to this airport before, and somebody turns to me and says, where's the bathroom? And I'm like, what makes you think I know where the
yeah.
bathroom is? But I look around, and I'm like, it's that way,
because right.
there's a sign.
You're like, bitch, I'm in Abu Dhabi. Like, I do not know where the bathroom
right.
is.
There are no bathrooms here. I'm sorry. Just hold it. You're fine. Should not have had that.
Abu Poopy.
Right.
Oh, God. Well, that sounds really fun.
Mm, yeah.
So how overqualified are you? What are your degrees and things in? Are they related to this?
Oh, okay. So I've always been a fan of dance. I've always been a dancer, but I went to college and I was like, now's the time to get serious.
Uh-huh.
I had no plans of being a professional dancer. So I was a business management and anthropology double major with a dance minor.
Wow.
Because I was like, I still want to dance.
Yeah.
It's still fun for me. I want to get credit for it. But I need to be serious. I need to figure out what I'm going to do. I'm, I guess, going to go into the business world and
uh-huh.
have like a job where I have to wear a suit every day. Like, that's what I pictured
uh-huh.
was the next step. And I was kind of dreading it for my entire college career.
Yeah.
And as I was graduating, my friends were getting job at financial institutions, and I'm like, okay, I guess I have to do like a boring job now.
Yeah.
Until somebody said to me, you know, you can apply for an internship at a theater. And it totally didn't click to me until
yeah.
I was like, oh, wait, I could work at a theater. That would be brilliant.
Yeah.
And kind of figured out how to get here. But yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's wild. I mean, that's so strange that, I mean, I don't want to say that it's strange that you didn't think of that, but
I think
how
it's
did this
really
not happen?
Strange.
Yeah.
I think it's really strange. And I lived in New Jersey growing up, you know, high school, college.
Yeah.
I could have been interning those summers, you know, for dance companies and stuff.
Yeah.
I just had this idea in my head that to be an adult, you had to, like, have a boring desk job. And
yeah.
I was like, that's where I'm supposed to be. Like, I literally had an internship at a window factory. And that was the worst summer of my life.
Oh, my gosh.
And I thought that was what being an adult was. That was
good
adulting.
Good Lord. I mean,
yeah.
are your parents Japanese? I'm confused.
No. No, my father's a dentist, and I didn't want to do that. So I was like, what's the alternative? I don't know. I'm, like, an organized person. So I thought, like, finance was what I was supposed
yeah.
to be doing. So
that's interesting.
Yeah.
It's wild that, like, you really can't plan for happiness.
Right.
It's true.
But you can sort of veer in the right direction and hope it all works out.
Yeah. And somehow it did. I'm not miserable. Like,
good.
In one of those jobs. Yeah.
Yeah, I need a t-shirt that says, not miserable.
Really maybe a reminder for day to day here.
Not
I swear. I'm not miserable.
So super hopeful and inspirational.
I'm sure lots of people are happy in those types of jobs, but
yeah,
I would
no
have
shade.
Been so bored. It just wouldn't have been for me. Yeah. So.
And you, Monsieur?
Well, I did some theater growing up and again went to college and was like, oh, I have to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I was going to be a doctor, you know, because like, I mean, my last name's Pickles. I thought I could be a pediatrician. Who doesn't want to go to Dr. Pickles? But you have to be motivated in order to actually do all of that. And so I was a combined sciences major with a natural science emphasis in college. Was junior year and realized I don't want to be a doctor. I don't have the ambition to be a doctor. So I was a musical theater minor. Of course, what does one do with that when they leave college? So I taught high school for a year. Which
like, theater, had like drama or something?
No,
or
science.
Oh.
It was like the worst 9 months. Like, I thought I would go back to high school at age 22. But that, it really was awful, but I learned that I loved the administrative side. And yeah. so it sort of got me going down that path. And then did odd jobs in St. Louis when I moved back.
How odd?
I worked in the flooring business. I was an estimator. So I had like these tiny little tape measures and rulers. And I would look at a floor plan and I would figure out how much flooring would go in a room.
Just finding the area of a room, basically.
Pretty much. And saying, well, if this carpet is like, you know, it only comes in 12-foot segments, uh-huh. and then you have to add more, can you double? And
that actually sounds like something you'd be really good at.
I know, and I loved it. I was like, and I would color things with like little, like pencils and whatever. But I, yeah, I thought I needed to move on.
Ooh, the phone is ringing. Do you need to get that?
No.
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 And then I worked at Whole Foods Market in the cheese section for like 2.5 years.
Oh my God. Pickles and cheese. Pickles and cheese.
It was amazing. And I just like ate cheese all day.
Sounds
so
wonderful.
Yeah.
Did you hear when you said Whole Foods?
Yeah.
They were just bought by Amazon.
I know.
For like $4 bajillion.
Yes. I don't know. That seems weird to me.
Don't totally understand.
I don't understand, yeah. but... Something's going on there.
They must be prepping their drones, and they wanted to have them market all
just
the food.
Like, it just like comes like, oh,
yeah.
my God, a wheel of brie, just like descending from the sky.
Like reverse. What's the thing in like, you know, religion where you just disappear from your clothes and go to heaven?
Oh God.
I can't answer this question.
I'm a lapsed Catholic. I should know this.
It's like, oh, come on. Rapture? Is that it? Rapture.
No, that's I feel
it.
Like
isn't
when something
that,
comes...
Like
rapture is like, yeah, the end
yeah.
of the world.
But
oh,
what
well, that's
happens.
What I'm referencing.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I thought
it's like
this
a
was
reverse
more of a peaceful,
cheese rapture.
Like, just like, hey, bye everyone, as opposed to, like, brimstone and fire. But it's fine. That also...
At the end of the world, I want cheese to fall from the
yes.
sky.
Oh my God.
That
would
great.
Be just... Yeah.
Just
God,
make it
that's
all okay.
Nice thought. But...
Hashtag reverse cheese rapture, by the way, is good.
That's,
I'm here for
yes,
it.
Yes, it's on its way.
So, explain
oh, then,
how you, like, I mean,
got back
why did you get into dance, like, ballet especially? How did this happen?
So when I was realizing that my life in cheese needed to sort of come to a close, I started really looking at graduate school.
Uh-huh.
And then... through just a little more research, found performing arts administration because it's something that I thought sort of blended my love of the arts plus that sort of business sense
yeah.
that I really liked.
And coloring.
And coloring.
Hello. I used to have some coloring pencils that I used here. But so then I went to NYU
mm-hmm.
and got my master's in performing arts administration, which is not required for this job, mind you.
Work.
But it was, no, it was great because then it was like it started this networking and it got me to New York.
Uh-huh.
And then, yeah, after graduating, I got the job at 101 Productions that led me here. So
fantastic. And can you just explain, like, what's the first thing you do when you get here to the theater? Is it just mainly, like, answering emails and such?
Yeah. I mean, emails, that's the biggest way that I think we all communicate, especially with the administration who's not here in the building.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you usually have a few things that you need to just respond to immediately. Of course, which takes place after the coffee. That is number one on
but
the day.
Is your Keurig empty?
But this?
Oh, it's an espresso. Did George Clooney bring it to you?
He did. He drove all across the country.
With the Muppets, right?
The
have
Muppets.
You seen that commercial?
I haven't.
Yeah.
It's like a Javier Bardem. It's like, oh I'm having a delicious Nespresso.
No, that's not Javier Bardem.
I don't know who it was. I'm going to say it's Javier Bardem.
It could be
It was Michelle Obama. She's like, I have the most delicious coffee. Would you like some? And he's like, I'm out. I don't have anything. I'm at this movie set, and the craft services suck, and it's raining. And then the Muppets drive him across country.
And Burt Reynolds. A young Burt Reynolds.
Oh, yes. And he gets in the car. Is that with Burt Reynolds?
He's in the car, yeah.
In the car with Burt Reynolds. Can you imagine all the things that should have happened in that car? Truly. 1990 is calling. So, there is an espresso machine
mm-hmm.
here.
Yes. We're stepping it up. It used to be Keurig, but we've upgraded.
Do you think Keurig's going down?
I don't know.
There's a lot of espresso advertisements.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
So I've done something recently that is very counter to my character. I have abandoned putting milk in my coffee.
Whoa.
And I have opted for just adding a touch of honey.
Oh. Honey into the coffee?
Yes. A friend of mine told me about it and said, you know, this is really ideal because you don't have, like, milk farts from drinking your coffee. And the honey cuts down the acidity of the Hoosie Watsits, and it's delightful. I really recommend it.
You know, my dad has done that for the last 30 years that I'm aware of how my dad has made coffee, and I've always thought it was the weirdest thing.
And now you think it's still weird.
I do.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Not going to do it.
Yeah.
Hateful. Hateful. Just think of all the money I'm saving on not buying milk.
That's true.
I know. It's true.
Honey lasts for, like, ever.
That's true.
Do you have a favorite type of honey? Like the bear? Like the squeeze bear? Or...
I think... I just have Trader's Joe honey.
That's right.
There's a Trader's Joe, like, across from my apartment. So I go to there, and I buy the not squeezy bear honey. It's, like, in the shape of a hive.
Okay.
So it's a squeezy hive honey.
Right.
Which makes sense, because... bears don't make honey.
No, it's true.
It's in the hive.
That's right.
Well, you know that song, like, hive to the honey and the bees or something? No.
You don't. No.
It's
like a camp thing.
I feel like it's from Gypsy.
Oh.
Wait.
Is it from Gypsy? Internet, tell me.
You would know.
Kyle
would know.
That does not,
it's
I mean.
It's like, hive to the bees and I'm honey. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay. You got cut, like, in an out-of-town tryout.
Yeah,
right.
It was in the early edition.
Deleted scene.
Yeah.
Completely off topic, are you guys watching anything on the television these days? Like, that's getting you through Matt's season?
Yeah, well, Orange is the New Black just came out with their next season.
What is it, season 5
now?
Season 5. Oh, my sweet gherkins.
So that's become my...
Is it good?
It is good so far,
yeah. I mean, I watched the first 3 or so, and I loved it.
Yeah. Last season was a little but I think it's getting good again.
Yeah. And you?
Just finished Master of None.
I've never seen that.
Oh,
I've heard that's
so
excellent.
Good. Also good. Yeah.
There's two seasons
of
that?
Two seasons, yeah. Just watched that second one.
I usually watch a few episodes of The Golden Girls before going to bed. It's a new show. You should really catch it. It's really...
Look
I think
it
it's
up.
Going somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
yeah. Usually it's just that... Yeah.
That's wonderful. Who's your favorite girl of the golden years?
You know, Sophia just had the, like, sarcasm and wit that is just sort of unmatched. So.
Yeah.
And they're still funny to me after a few years.
That was a really progressive show, actually.
Yes, it was.
It depicted, it was like elderly feminism in a way, and it was inclusive of so many different, you know, types of people, if you will. So if you've never seen The Golden Girls and need a lesson in how to be awesome, watch it.
Yeah.
I've just finished the first season of The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, so good.
Oh my God, I loved it.
Yeah. I think I might not have seen the finale episode.
I watched that.
Okay,
like,
I need to watch
yesterday
that one.
Or something.
Okay, yeah,
It's insane.
But it messes with your mind.
Yeah, it's just really sad.
Yeah.
And really just... I don't know, I just watch it sort of incredulous, and I'm like, how is this real? But then it's not, because
it's not.
A TV
but it
show.
It feels so real, it's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. Well, we've meandered long enough. Back to the topic at hand. So, do you have a ballet that is, I don't know, the most difficult or your most favorite to work around?
I mean, the reality is, and we talk about this, that... the actual ballets doesn't really matter to us.
Mm-hmm.
There's sometimes, I mean, we pay supers for their work. We might have to schedule a lot of different flights and trips if we have a new ballet that we're putting together because you've got designers and people traveling. But in reality, when we get to the theater, we see everybody else acting crazy around us. And for us, it's just like another day at
the
office.
Yeah.
And it does, you know, what's happening on stage doesn't necessarily affect what's happening in here.
Yeah, no, it's... it's true, yeah. It's like, I remember when we did the new Sleeping Beauty, mm-hmm. I think it was 2 years ago out in California, and our office is, again, a closet with gray walls, and we're just sitting there, and we're, like, really close to, like, where the artistic offices and wardrobe mm-hmm. and wigs, and there's just commotion happening, like, swirling around, and we're just, like, typing away on our computers, just like, so, what's going on
what's
out
happening?
There? Because...
it's like being in the eye of the storm. We're
right.
just, like...
But we're
maybe it's
here,
the cheese apocalypse.
It's true. Look out for the cheese. Always be on the lookout. So, yeah, it's definitely, for us, we're... It's just... To us, it's the same,
yeah.
regardless.
Yeah.
But, like, a week like this week, Swan Lake Week, when everybody's just dying to get tickets and mm-hmm. houses are sold out and all of that, like, that makes my life crazy because
yeah.
everybody's calling me, I need last-minute tickets for this or that, right. this VIP, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's, it's been a busy couple days. So maybe
yeah.
at the Met, like, Swan Lake is kind of a rough week.
Yeah. Who's the most IP we've had recently?
Oh, Caroline Kennedy has
uh-huh.
come a couple nights ago. Who else can we talk about? Mark Jacobs was here.
Oh, I've been inviting him for years. He never comes.
Michael Kors
is coming or was
Fashion.
Here?
Fashion.
Fashion. Wait, who was...
You're like, no.
Just, well.
Oh my God.
I know.
Say.
Like, check it.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of...
Is there anyone
not a whole
who's
lot of,
been...
like...
Oh, you know, David Schwimmer
oh,
came
oh,
and,
no.
like, just, like... I mean, I don't know how IP
mm-hmm.
that is,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, but just, like, very, like, unassuming and just, like, with a ball cap
yeah.
with someone.
Oh, Blake Lively to our gala and then
oh,
came
yeah.
back and saw whipped cream a second time.
Oh,
she
yeah.
loved it
Can't
so much. Yeah.
Of the whipped cream.
Yeah.
Did you guys see The Shallows?
No, that's like my worst nightmare right there.
That was so
right?
fun.
Right, isn't that about like
sharks? Is this one where she's like
stuff?
On like a buoy?
Yes.
Like,
yeah,
just
yeah.
like
that's
no. swinging back and forth on a buoy, like, help!
Yeah, that's literally, I don't need to see a movie for that
no.
because I already, that terrifies me.
Do you not like to
yeah.
swim in the ocean?
I am a little scared of swimming in the ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you need to just swim. You need to go with Blake Lively because she was really in charge.
She kicked some shark ass.
Yeah, she was kicking shark
mm-hmm.
booty for sure.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new movie coming out called, like, 47 Meters Below.
No,
no one needs
also
that.
Also,
no
not okay.
One, no.
Yeah, no.
It's like they're locked in a shark cage,
right.
like, that falls from its boat or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
The no good can come
no.
from this. There is nothing.
I feel like I'm here for it.
Oh,
okay.
Gosh. Yeah.
Tell us
there
how it
There are people
is.
Who want to see it. I saw that commercial.
Yeah.
Like, that's enough. I didn't need to see that. Yeah.
I like an ocean horror drama.
Oof.
Do you remember Deep Blue Sea with
oh,
LL
God.
Cool
oh,
J?
I
liked that.
No.
I'm being judged
just,
so hard
no,
right now.
No, it just terrifies
no.
me. I just can't. Oh, my gosh. No.
So let's talk about touring a little bit.
Yeah.
So ABT is known sort of as a touring company.
Mm-hmm.
And we go all over the world. We've recently gone to Abu Dhabi and Oman and Spain and, you know, places.
Paris.
You know, Paris. Oh, yeah, her. She's a nice lady.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Paris Hilton.
Mm-hmm.
We did a private show at Paris Hilton's house.
The whole company went. 730.
Big house. Big house.
Huge.
Do you have a place that is easiest to coordinate?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Easiest.
Other than like OC.
Or, yeah, because
yeah.
we go to like DC and Orange County all the time.
Right.
That's easy. But like, I feel like when we went to like Brisbane, Australia, everybody was just so nice and welcoming
yeah.
and wonderful. And it just made the tour like easy and fun.
Yeah.
And
they were wonderful.
Organized.
Are we going back?
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Well, that's
we keep
really
trying.
Nice
I
metal.
Think we're trying. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes the tours that are less restricted or more restricted are easier because it's like you're on the flight
mm-hmm.
or you're not on the flight. Like you don't go. Whereas when there's more flexibility, it's just because it's 130 people, it adds just another
mm-hmm.
layer. And sometimes the farther you go is easier than a tour closer. Because there's always this
there's
expectation, like, oh, well, this person will just go a day later, or
yeah.
this person will go, like, later on the day. And you're like, But that's not so easy when you're going to Bard College, which is 2 hours away, but then you're dealing with, like, trains and all this stuff, so it's like
10,000 different schedules.
Yeah. If it's like, you go or you don't go, that's sometimes the easiest.
So, just so you know, sometimes we have travel options, and we can book our own flights and be reimbursed by the ballet up to a certain dollar amount. And that obviously creates freedom for the dancers, but can be very difficult for the company managers as they're trying to keep track of all 40 people who booked their own travel and are arriving and hopefully getting to the hotel, and hopefully they know where the hotel is and their first name, you know, hopefully they have their passport, you know, stuff like that. Hopefully they didn't bring their, you know, pet alligator or something stupid.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so sorry for bringing my alligator that one tour, you guys.
So, but you learned your lesson,
I did,
so it's fine. You won't do that again.
Yeah, TikTok will never come again.
No.
I named it after the Peter Pan crocodile.
Naturally.
Did I say it was a crocodile or an alligator? I have to keep my story straight.
I think you said an alligator.
Yeah.
It's an alligator. A crocodator. Have you found, like, a favorite place to be on tour? Like, Hong Kong, you know, something like that.
I mean, one of my favorite tours, and luckily we've done it twice, is the Oman tour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just, like, it's such a... The people, the reception, the hospitality... Everything. It's just sort of unexpected, and it's just really warm. It's one of the most gracious sort of places that we have been to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, I think there's obviously some misconceptions of that the region and where Oman is. And so when you tell people, it's like, oh, but isn't it scary or whatever? And you walk out of there going, no, it's not. I think we've been in scarier places than here in Oman. So
Paris is terrifying. I was like,
the timing of the trip was, I
love Paris, don't get me wrong. I'm like, I want to go as soon as possible. But there, like, I was watching so many pickpockets just trying to get it done. And I don't know, I'm really not about that.
No.
Mm-hmm.
My pockets are for me.
Yeah.
I picked them myself. yeah, I'm interested to talk about Oman for a second, because did we have to edit some costumes and such?
No, there was concern the first time that we went.
It was Don Quixote?
It was Don Quixote. And so it was Basilio in the second act, when he was just in tights, and they were like, no.
But he wears tights in every act.
But doesn't he wear, like, pants?
No.
No, I think it's just all tights.
No, it's not. It's not. It's just one. It was one act.
Act three, they're
tights.
Like white tights?
Was that the problem? Yeah.
White tights are too sexy.
Maybe
for
it was just
mom.
All Basilio. Basilio in general,
yeah.
Maybe. I thought it was an act. But yes, you're. So yes, it was. You know, at first it was. Caused some controversy, and the head of this department met with the head of this department, and there was just like, well, so can you, like, fashion a diaper-esque sort of situation?
Hot,
I know, right?
Hot.
It's just really, it's very period piece. And then
just
they,
in case you get your period.
And then, but then ultimately they sort of acquiesced and said, okay, fine, we'll let it happen. And yeah.
Yeah.
It went away, but it was at first going to be an issue.
Yes. Okay. And I mean, I haven't been taken on either of these tours.
Oh,
isn't that so hideous?
Sorry.
Super bitter, more bitter than grapefruit juice.
Oh,
yikes.
I know. I don't like grapefruit juice, just for the record. And I, upon looking at people's Instagrams and things, I find that everyone sort of adopts the garb of the region.
Mm-hmm.
How does that make you feel? Do you feel like it's keeping the company safe, or is it appropriation, or is... I don't know. When I look at it from afar, it makes me feel a little strange.
I feel like it's out of respect.
Yeah.
And so we it's part of our job just to make people understand where they're going and how to kind of feel comfortable there. And we recommended that people dress mm-hmm. more modestly out of respect for the local mm-hmm. culture. But once we were there, I kind of realized it wasn't absolutely necessary. Mm-hmm. People are very open there, very understanding. They have a lot of Western tourism mm-hmm. and know that, you know, are comfortable with people wearing, you know, different types of garments. Yeah. But I think it's out of respect, and it's just like a... And I like that the company all kind of felt that way mm-hmm. and just wanted to be respectful to a more modest culture.
And I don't know if it has changed the second time around for people that may have gone both or mm-hmm. have gone to Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
But I think when we first went to Oman, which would have been, I think, 2011, people, like, they were excited about getting dressed up yeah. and the scarves and just sort of like, I felt like it wasn't like, oh, we have to do this, but there was something like sort of fun about dressing a little bit differently, which was a little bit more mindful of the culture, but also it gave people just an option to, you know, buy more scarves in the souk. So it all, everyone won, I think.
Yeah.
It's a win-win.
Yeah, it's just sort of, for me, it's like a, I think I relate it directly to how I would feel going somewhere like Russia or, you know, namely Chechnya, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. And you couldn't be yourself.
And I'm a gay man, and I would be in fear of, you know, all sorts of horrible things. But then at the same time, I'm like, well, is it my duty as an outspoken American man to, you know, not dull my shine, as it mm-hmm. were? But then again, you have to realize that, you know, safety first.
Yeah.
It's a really hard line to walk.
Yeah.
And I mean, I really haven't had to yet. I live in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And the country's... at least I've been to on tour, are, you know, even if, like, say somewhere like Tokyo is flamboyant in nature,
mm-hmm.
right.
But do not directly, it does not directly accept homosexuality,
mm-hmm.
Right. You know, on paper, but, I mean, the culture is just G-A-Y, you know, so it's really confusing, and I don't feel threatened, and I feel I can almost be more ridiculous in Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be curious to see how I would react to a place, like, if we went on tour to Russia, which I can't imagine is in the works, but real talk.
No.
American Ballet Theater in Russia, like, what? No, bye, girl. So, yeah, that's just my own inner struggle that I feel I need to voice. But I'm glad that people like to buy scarves.
Yeah.
The only thing is, it becomes novelty to people, and it's like, it's not like they're making fun of the culture, but it is super fun, which is not outright respectful. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But this is just like Sensitive Jones talking about it. So I think it's great that everyone has cute new scarves and they're safe, you know?
Exactly. They're being
safe.
We brought back
yeah.
everyone we took, so it was all good.
And that
is a sign of a successful tour.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
Right. I was just going to say, that's our job, is just to inform and be as informed as possible, inform the dancers as much as we can.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, we're dealing with adults who
mm-hmm.
can act however they want when we go on tour,
mm-hmm.
and we can't control that. So you make your own decision about how you want to act when you're in these countries, but all we can do is provide the information, let you know what the risks might be,
mm-hmm.
and then we just set you all loose and you do what you want. We can't, that's the thing. People picture us working with, like, school children, you know, we must be telling everybody what to do and where to go, and all we can do is just tell you this is what time the bus is leaving, and if you're not on it, you're an adult, and
figure it out.
You want to act in a way that's, that we've maybe advised against, then
mm-hmm.
we can't stop you guys.
What do you guys do if someone is just not at the bus? You just leave, right?
There's a certain point where we call.
Right.
Yeah, we try to wake you up. We try to say you've got 2 minutes to pack your things and get down here if you
I think I was that one time, right?
Yeah. We've left without people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like to leave someone who we have not at least made some sort of contact with.
Yeah. Right.
So, if we wake someone up, it's like, well, you know, we're leaving out of this airport.
Mm-hmm.
Call a taxi.
See you there.
Like, see you there.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Because we just can't, you know. But I don't know. There's something about it, especially if we're in a foreign country and it's a younger
mm-hmm.
dancer who may have been enjoying their last night, you know, and party to the plane, but didn't quite make it. And just to not just know where they are or that they're alive. And then, like, leaving the country seems like a bad idea. So
yeah.
We do sort of keep that in mind, but yep. Everyone's an adult, so we have to treat them that way, so...
Well, you know, it's wild. With ballet companies, not everyone is an adult.
That's
you have
true.
Some 16-year-olds sometimes, you know?
It's true.
And
yes.
They are treated as adults, and are you hope that they will behave as adults,
right.
Myself included.
Right.
But you never know.
Yeah.
Interesting fact is that Kyle and I, when we do have somebody under 18 that we have to travel with, we become their guardians while we travel. So
right.
Mom and Dad here do have a little more responsibility to look after those 16 and 17-year-olds because they are not adults.
Kids.
We
have
kids.
A lot of kids.
We do.
A lot
yes.
of kids.
Oh.
We give them up, though.
So,
18. And, like, when we went to Barcelona and we had the Hurricane Sandy and it was like sending people home, I had a 16 or I don't know if she was 16 or 17 and I was like, you got to stay with me until I leave. You can't leave.
Yeah.
So sometimes they get, you know,
That was wild. I came back to I lived on 12th Street at the time and there was no power at all for like a week.
Yeah.
My boyfriend would walk up to sort of like the Empire State Building to just charge his phone. He'd send me like pictures of like it would be just flashlights in the East Village. So strange, pitch black, but just you could see people's flashlights like looking where they're walking and stuff. So strange. So to conclude, I just want to play a little game called Hidge or Not Hidge, which is do you guys know what Hidge means?
I do not.
I've listened to your podcast, so I do.
Yes, we've got one.
Yeah.
One listener, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
It's perfect.
So, Hidge is like, oh, you know, it's like, if you're British, and you think, oh, that's Hidges. Oh, she's got Hidges haircut, don't you think? That's really Hidges. And Hidge is short for Hidges. Like, hideous.
Hideous. Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's Hidges. Oh,
Hidges.
Thank you.
Hidges.
You know. So, I don't really know where I'm going with these. I just sort of look around the room and, you know, see things. Hidge or not Hidge? Plastic bags.
Oh,
Hidge.
Okay, how do you combat plastic bag Hidgeness?
We're both true company managers.
Uh-huh.
We each carry a bag within our regular day-to-day bags that we can use.
It's like a
instead.
Nesting doll.
Yeah,
it's
a
bag
tote.
In a bag.
Yeah, wrapped up tote.
What are those dolls? The Matryoshka?
Something doll. A nesting doll for Americans.
Yes, nests. Nests all day. Okay, Hidge or not Hidge, Star Wars.
I don't want to say Hidge, but I have to admit I've never seen a Star Wars. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I'm not, like, the biggest Star Wars fan. Like, I don't see all of them.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to say not Hidge.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoyed it. It was, like growing up, I mean, Star Wars was a big deal.
Yeah.
So it reminds me of childhood.
I would, you know, pretend I was sick and stay home from school. And we had the original three Star Wars, the original trilogy on VHS. And I would watch them all in one day while I'd put the thermometer on the light bulb. can you do that with digital thermometers?
I don't know.
Back
why?
In the day, the
why
thermometers
not?
Weren't digital, kids.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Shake it,
put it on the light
forehead
bulb.
One, that's what we had.
Oh,
stick
no.
it to your forehead.
Oh, I never had that.
No?
I feel
like that was an 80s thing, too. It was like a tape that you put on your forehead.
Oh, my
it would
God.
Change colors. Yeah.
Wow.
You know, we should still have those.
That sounds like witchcraft to me.
High tech.
Ours was like the glass one that I'm like, I feel like it was just like cracked all the time. I'm like, am I going to like ingest mercury real soon when I'm trying to take my temperature?
Make it more sick.
All right, Hidge or not Hidge? Gosh, I have to think of something first. Nespresso.
Not Hidge.
Sponsored by Nespresso. I'll
get
be accepted.
Sir La Top down the street.
Bring them by the company manager's
office. Exactly. Make sure to recycle.
Sur la table, does that mean below the table?
On the table.
Yeah. On the table?
Yes.
Sir.
Sir.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sir just sounds like below to me.
Sued?
Sued.
South? Mm-hmm. Low? Mm-hmm.
That's the thing.
I think it is.
Mm-hmm. Sued.
Sued la table?
I sued the table for $1 million. All right. Thank you guys so much for coming on the Stage Right Side. This is episode 5, I believe. Come back next week or whenever I have time. Love you. Say goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.